I want to pray for the Hall girls. So Carol and Sydney and Addie are headed off to the Philippines this Friday. So why don't you come? And we want to pray over you. They're headed to an island north of where the trouble has been. And just for people who don't, you know, you think of the Philippines like Gilligan's Island. It's 1,100 miles north to south, 600 miles east to west. So when I say it's the island to the north, it's pretty far away from the trouble. And so we're glad that you're still planning to go, and we will be praying because, you know, traveling itself has its own challenges. But why don't you tell us what you're doing, and since you're closest.
Well, we leave this Friday, and we'll be gone 2 weeks. We're going to be working with Carmen Community Church. Sam and Laura Abelarde are from there, and so we'll be working with some family members that are in that church, and we'll be visiting the elementary school, talking with children. We will be doing a vacation Bible school, planting a garden, building a fence, and just ministering wherever God puts us. So that's the plan.
Well, we are proud of you, and we want to send you out as part of Northlake. The Carmen Church plant, some of you know this name because it was in partnership with all the work that has been happening here as well, but with friends at Rose Valley Friends Church as well as Calvary Community Church and other congregations that are working together that have planted this church a few years ago. And so they're going to build up that congregation. And so why don't you head up the middle as we do? And we want to rise. If you're new among us, this is what we do. So just join us. And just we're going to stand and we're going to move toward them and just lay a hand on a shoulder. If you're near them, lay a hand on their shoulder or the shoulder of the person you're closest to. And we believe that God gives a blessing. This, again, we see in Scripture where they send them out. So just take a moment and pray what's on your heart. Feel free to pray out loud, especially if you're near them. Believe the Lord might have a word for them through you. Oh, Father God, we thank you for Carol and Sydney and Addison. We pray that you will be upon them by your Spirit. We pray for health and protection, but most of all, lots of fruit that will last. We pray that they'll have the joy of seeing people trust in you. They'll have the joy of seeing children growing in their faith in Jesus and seeing the Carmen Church grow. And so bless their 2 weeks, and we thank you for the team that is going from our community, and we thank you that we are just one congregation among the whole body of Christ, the whole church of Jesus in the Three Rivers region, and together we partner for the good and for the salvation of those who are on the island of Negros. And so bless this mission and return them to us safely, and we just pray, God, that they would come full of your joy and stories of things that they saw and did in Jesus' name. We pray your blessing on Bill as he sends off all his girls, and we pray that you will just be near him as he's home alone, and pray that you will, we thank you with technology for the ways we're able to be connected. But in those places where maybe through time changes or whatever it is, that you'll just give him perfect peace to guard and guide him as he waits for their return. So we send you off in Jesus' name and pray God's blessing on what's ahead. In his name we pray. Amen. Couple other things as you're headed back in your bulletin. There's an insert today. You can volunteer at the Love Inc. Three Rivers House of Prayer fireworks stand. That's going to be at the Walmart out on Ocean Beach. Not the super Walmart, but the regular Walmart or the downgraded Walmart. I don't know what I don't know what, if it's not super, it's normal, the normal Walmart. All right, so that's where the tent will be. And so there's contact information on here. I think Chris is actually doing the coordinating of that. And so this is where I'm able to give my time this year. And it's kind of cool that you had your daughter's photograph in there from fireworks. And so anyway, this is raising money for both Love Inc. That's the churches of the region working together to meet the real needs of people throughout the community. And then, of course, the Three Rivers House of Prayer, where believing together we're fulfilling Luke 12:35 that says we're to be dressed and ready for action with our lamps burning. We believe burning lamps is about prayer, and of course dressed and ready for action may include, you know, some gloves because you're doing some work or whatever that might be. But we want to help them, and this is one of the main fundraisers. So as most of you know, fireworks booths are open for an entire week here in the region and all the way through July 5th. All right, so please see Chris, call him on the number there in your insert and volunteer to not leave him to the 11th hour to figure out, are we going to cover this or not? So please jump right in there. And so this is Father's Day. Let me take a moment because this is the right time. In your bulletin again is this, you are here, insert about the one great hour of sharing. This has been a fundraiser that has been going on for better part of 60 years, I think, across the nation. And it's just keeping a name that was very effective years ago. Several denominations work together to literally raise millions of dollars. And so our $1,000 goal is going toward this. Just 1 minute video. Would you go ahead and show that, Ruben?
People are hurting and in need. But by giving to one great hour of sharing, you extend the love of Christ to help heal and provide hope. So now, where there is hunger, you are here. Where water is scarce, you are here. When natural disasters take away everything, you are here. And where people are in need of clothing and shelter, you are here. When you give through one great hour of sharing to any of those who suffer, you let them know Christ is present, and you are here.
So through that, we can be present in times of great need, in times where there is catastrophe, things like the tsunami. There's this large fund that's already established and helps, as it said, bring clean water to people as well as meet other very tangible needs all around the world through the name of Jesus. We're going to move toward the message now and pray. But before I do, I was struck. I got drawn again to some music that I used to listen to years ago, and so I downloaded it and listening again. This lyric says that to know and yet still be looking is soul's paradox of life. And in this thing is that we can know God, and yet in this life we're still looking for him more fully. And so we're all still on this journey together, and I just believe that's the word of the Lord today. Just be encouraged wherever you are on your journey. Just take the next step, whatever that is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this Father's Day, and we thank you again that you are our Father, and we thank you for being with us, being near us, and that we can know you, and yet we know we're just scratching the surface. We're just barely meeting you. We're barely understanding, and I just pray refreshment in this room today for those who feel like I've known him, but it didn't matter. I just say there's so much more, and we just pray, God, today that your Father heart that says, come be with me, would resonate in every heart, and that you would meet us right where we are, and you would draw us closer to you. Father God, I thank you for your daughter, Miranda, who has received a message from you that she wants to bring this Father's Day. And I thank you for the privilege it is today to hear from from a daughter. I thank you, God, for the way that you gift each one of us. And I thank you for the blessing that Miranda is on our staff and ish, as a young person who has risen up in amazing ways. I just ask your blessing over her now as she brings this message today and we learn more about your father heart from one of your daughters. So continue to be with us. Draw us along in this place where we have the satisfaction in knowing you and the peace and the security of a relationship with a good father. And yet we know there's so much more. So bless us as we step into more today through your servant Miranda. In Jesus' name, amen. So Miranda came to me a few weeks ago and said, I have a message. Can I preach? And I said, absolutely. And when she told me what it was, I said, this is Father's Day. And so we are so glad that you have received this and are eagerly desiring to deliver the Lord's message to us today. Bless you.
Sup, fam. If you guys don't speak millennial, that's millennial. It's hi, family. How are you doing? You know, they kind of established a few weeks ago, staff meeting on Tuesday, that I'm the official millennial translator. So if you need any help, I've helped Terry Hopkins out already. She needed to communicate with her granddaughter and yeah, just lent a hand. But anyway, so can you see my face? Okay. Because let me get this going really quick. Okay. Okay. So I picked this picture. So my friend Avi, he's a photographer. And I was like thinking, I was like, what am I going to put on the front slide? And this picture, I said, send me a picture of either you and your stepdaughter, JD, or of just a father and a bride. And I picked this because of the way that he's looking at her. And I feel like that's the way that he looks at us. And a lot of times I've had a hard time coming to grips with that because on some days, you know, you don't really like yourself. I don't like myself on some days. But he likes me and he loves me and that's how he sees me and that's how he sees you. So Mark, you prayed before, but I'm going to pray again. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are so kind and gracious and merciful. And we thank you for the love that you've given us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you be upon me today and give me the words to say to bless these people, to bless Northlake. So God, be with us, shower us with your love, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So happy Father's Day, everybody. And this might be hard for you, like I said, for some people you to hear on Father's Day, but you're so deeply loved by God. And I, like I said, I struggle some days to know that because I struggle, you know, everybody struggles to like themselves, but he really, really loves us. And when we're looking through the lens of shame and we're not looking through the lens of love, So I'm his girl. You guys are his kids, and he really, 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 really loves us. So I'm going to show this video, and it might challenge the way that you, how you think the Father feels about you. It's one of my favorite videos that I've ever watched. Every time I'm in a puddle of tears and I'm bawling, and it really challenges how we see how God loves us, and especially through people. So if you could show the video.
I remember my stepfather, you know, would beat me, and he would beat me with extension cords and hangers and, you know, pieces of wood and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, after every beating, he would tell me, you know, it hurt me more than it hurt you. I only did it because I love you. It was kind of, you know, it communicated the wrong message to me about what love was. So for many years, you know, I thought that love was supposed to hurt. And I hurt everyone that I love. And I measured love by how much pain someone would take from me. And it wasn't until I came to prison in an environment that is devoid of love that I began to have some sort of understanding about what it actually was and was not. And I met someone. And she gave me my first real insight into what love was because she saw past my conditions and the fact that I was in prison with a life sentence for murder, and not only for murder, but for doing the worst kind of murder that a man can do, murdering a woman and a child. And it was Agnes, the mother and grandmother of Patricia and Chris, the woman and child that I murdered, who gave me my best lesson about love, because by all rights, she should hate me. But she didn't. And over the course of time and through the journey that we took, that's been pretty amazing. She gave me love. And she taught me what it was.
So, yeah, that video tore me up. And God's love can be made to be confusing by this world, but his love will never abuse you or hurt you. And I don't know if the grandmother was a believer or not. I don't know if she, if Jesus was her savior, but I would assume that kind of forgiveness and strength only comes from God, the ability to forgive somebody like that when they did something that seems really unforgivable. And just like the man in the video, the depths of God's love didn't make sense to me for quite some time because I witnessed a lot of destruction in my own family. And my view of God was really distorted because I was letting what I had witnessed in my own life and my own family and even in the world speak louder than God's promises and his truths. And I'm so thankful for his grace and his patience with me as well as with other people. He's been so kind, and he's walked hand in hand with me as I'm still trying to figure out who he is and figure out his true nature. Growing up, I knew next to nothing about God. I went to church every once in a while. I was just told, kind of the rules like every other kid is, be polite, order the cheapest thing on the menu, especially when you're with your friends, order the cheapest thing on the menu, especially if they're paying for your meal. I was told to follow the rules. I was told don't date until you're 16. Don't have sex until you're married. And I just felt like there were a lot of rules being thrown my way, and they were really good rules, and I'm a rule follower, so I followed them. But there wasn't any explanation as to why, so I felt like it was really fear-based instead of being based out of love that I was following those rules. And I remember a few years ago, the Lord kind of took my view of his character and who he was and his nature and shifted it, thanks to sweet Amy Brody. And I was in prophetic, and she was praying over me, and she asked, she goes, you're a sports girl, right? I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember this? Okay. Stuck with me forever. She goes, you're a sports girl, right? And I grew up playing sports. I love sports. That's all I did. And I was like, yeah. And she said, you know those parents that are at every game? I go, well, yeah. And she goes, God is that, and he's there at every practice, too. He's the father that's there every game, every practice, cheering you on, saying, go, Miranda, go. He's the father who's still rooting for you when you fall down. And he's the father who's rooting you on when you miss a shot. He's still there lovingly looking at you to help you get back up and to take another shot. So, Amy, thank you for that. Thank you for listening to him and for speaking those words over me from him. It is amazing. One of my favorite quotes, A.W. Tozer, he said, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So I'm going to ask you the same question. Ask yourself this question. What comes into your mind when you think about God, when you think about our Heavenly Father? Maybe you equate God with anger because you grew up with an angry father who abused you emotionally or physically. Maybe like me, you equate God with, you know, instability because that's all I've ever known. I've lived in 38 different houses. Maybe you equate God with being absent because your father wasn't there for you physically and or emotionally. And maybe your father abandoned you. Maybe God is seen as untrustworthy because you've experienced a life full of broken promises and mistrust and lies. Maybe it's the other way around, though. Maybe you're hiding in shame from God because you haven't been the right father or been the person you thought you would be. And right now, the enemy, this is the enemy speaking, it's not God, is telling you that when you're bad, God doesn't love you. And that's not true. You're not beyond his reach, and you aren't too broken to be made new. You can't earn God's love. But I am telling you, though, a life lived in obedience to him is the surest way to joy. And that's one drawback to a life of free will. You can choose to obey him. You can choose to not obey him. We can choose a life that is deprived of God and his love. And those decisions that we take to step away from him and to step away from his love impact our life as well as the lives of those around us. The good news, though, is that God is merciful to his people, even when we don't deserve it. He's been so merciful to me, even when I have done nothing to deserve it. He is ever present, and he is a God of covenant love, and he always keeps his end of the bargain. The thing, though, is we have to enter into a relationship with him by grace through Jesus Christ. We have to enter into the depths of his love to truly be transformed. He doesn't just want us to conform. He wants to totally transform our lives. The Bible doesn't say he shames us into repentance. The Bible says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. I found this quote from Paul Young. It's another one of my absolute favorite quotes. Paul says, it took me all of 50 years to remove the face of my father off the face of God. So, whose face are you putting on God? It might be your fathers. It might be maybe people who've hurt you. And I'm so sorry that you've had to go through that. Are we letting God's character be defined by other means than his love for us and what he says to be true about himself? And if so, then we really have to throw off any preconceived notions that we have of who God is. And the only way to do that is to truly know God, to have a relationship with him. And in knowing the heart of the Father, like I said, means that there has to be a relationship. And we can have full access to a relationship with our Father in heaven through confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in your heart that he was raised from the dead. And then our body becomes a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit so we can dig deeper into who God is to truly, truly knowing him. So, like on the front of the bulletin, we will be, I'm going to kind of go over Exodus 34. It's just 6 through 7, but let me get it out. I'm going to read it. I should have had it memorized, but I didn't. Okay. The Lord passed, Exodus 34, 6 through 7, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And like you guys, I wasn't particularly fond of that last portion. But anyway, so in these verses, God literally describes himself and he tells us who he is. He reveals his nature. He describes his character. God also reveals to us who he is through Jesus Christ. So John 1:4 says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only son from..." Oh, thank you. And I'm such a crybaby. All right. "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So when we know, when we see Jesus, we see the Father. So if you're taking notes, I'm using points from this book that I was reading called God Has a Name. And it's written by John Mark Comer. He's a pastor in Portland, Oregon at a church called Bridgetown. And this book is an in-depth look at Exodus 34, 6 through 7. And so it's going over God's character and who he is. So, and please bear with me because I'm new to this Hebrew thing. So I don't have it quite down. I was asking Mark, how do you say this? So he kind of helped me with one of the words, but I tried my best to memorize them. My friend Avi was supposed to be here today. He's Hebrew, he's not here. Anyway. Okay, so the first point that I want to make, The first point that I want to make is that God is who he says he is all of the time, and his name reveals his character as well as the nature of our relationship with him. So in the first little tidbit of Exodus 34:6, he says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord.'" So in Exodus, when the Lord says whom he is, he says, and this is Hebrew, so sorry, forgive me, "Eye Esher Eye," meaning "I am who I am." And we call God Yahweh, as some of you might have referred to God as Yahweh before, and that means he is. So when we call him Yahweh, we're declaring that he is who he says he is. And a lot of people know this already, but God doesn't change. God isn't like the people around us. He's constant. He's very constant. And for that, I'm so thankful. God isn't deeply flawed like our fleshly nature. And he's even so good. He's so good that he will take our mess and he will make it into something beautiful. God's always merciful. He's always gracious. He's always slow to anger. And he's always abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In John 8:38, the word says, "I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from him." And Jesus taught us to call him Father. Right there, he calls him Father. And throughout Scripture, that's what Jesus calls Yahweh, is Father. What we call somebody reveals the nature of the relationship of the person that we're talking to. And you Sparacino people, you're going to love this story because it happened at your house. So I'm going to give you guys a really applicable description of this. And so raise your hand if you're married. Are you married? Anybody? Bueller? Okay. yes, you got it. All right. So some of you might have a fiance or a boyfriend. I have a best friend. Her name is Emma Temples. So I have, we have names for each other. So what do you call your significant other? Baby, hubster, wifey, pookie, schnookums, names that you would not call anybody else. So for example, like I call Emma Temples broski, brosif, brontosaurus, bro Hamlet. We just keep going. We have names for each other. And I don't just call anybody those names. I call her those because we have this special relationship and she's my best friend. So I was hanging out at the Sparacino's house, and for some reason we got on the topic of nicknames and terms of endearment. We're always talking about weird things. And I think it was because Michael was trying to figure out a nickname for me. He has names for people that nobody else calls them those names. And so he came up with Randy for me. And so then we just kept on there, just snowballed, and we kept talking about names and relationships. And Michael said he never referred to his wife, Sherry, as the wife, because it sounds more like a title or something that you're supposed to own versus like a name that you would call someone you have a close relationship with, a covenant relationship with, a deep, intimate relationship with. So what you call someone, really, the names that you have for them speaks volumes about the kind of relationship that you have with them. So then, don't you think what we call God has a lot to do with the dynamic of our relationship with him? Do you see God as your father? If that's who he says he is, then he's our heavenly father. And he loves us as one of his children. So my second point, I guess I should... Oh, I guess it's back there too. I always forget it's back there. God is our father, but he also loves us with a mother's love, and he's merciful. So Exodus 34:6, the Lord, a God compassionate and gracious. So he is who he is all of the time. He's always compassionate, always gracious. He doesn't introduce himself to us by saying, well, hello there, I am an angry, wrathful, and distant God. Instead, he starts off with the fact that he's compassionate and gracious. Here comes the Hebrew again, so I'm so sorry. As a rechum, rechum means compassionate, and comes from the root word rechem, which means womb. So that word, that compassionate word, comes from the root word in Hebrew, which means womb. Hanun means graciously given. And so in this, it's actually a word pair, and they're used to describe one another. So picture this, the love and feelings that a mother has for her children. So if you're a mom, the love that you have for your children is the love that God has for us. And we all know that there's no love like a mother's love. I have to tell you guys a story. I'm going to add that in there. My mom, she said to me once, she said, and she's struggled with God's, with knowing who God is in her life and his love towards her. And she's lovely in every single way. But she said to me, when you were born, that's when I truly knew the depths of God's love for me. So by her having a kid of her own, that's when she knew just how much God loved her. So God is protective. He's nurturing. And he truly cares about you just like a mother would with her children. He'll come after us. He'll protect us. And a good example of this, which Mark, you use on Mother's Day, is a mama bear. And you might recall Mark But I want to talk about this story again because it was also brought up a few months ago when I was living with the Hopkins, and Terry was talking about this same video. It was about a mama bear protecting her cub from a big male grizzly bear. And in the video, the mama bear latches on to the grizzly bear with her teeth, and she won't let go. She's there. Like, she's holding on. She won't let go. And she is relentless in the fight for the safety of her cubs. And so the father, if he loves us with a mother's love, is relentless in his love and protection over us too. God's love for us is like a parent to a child. And yes, there's a bond that you have there just because they're your children, just because we're his. There's a bond, there's this thing. But you have to grow and invest in the relationship to see it flourish. So, are we relentless in our love and pursuit of him, or is it a one-sided relationship? And like I said, with the more time and care and devotion we put into relationships, the deeper and richer they become. We need a relationship with God, with the Father, because doing all of the churchy stuff may look really nice to everybody else. It may feel nice. I know I've been in that place. But our soul will really pay the price because the Father knows our hearts and we can't earn his love, which in my opinion, it's wonderful yet terrifying at the same time because he knows the depths of my soul. So the doing of things for the Lord really flows from the inside out, not the other way around. We don't conform, we transform. He transforms us. Also, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that the Father is relational. In John 14:7, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And, there's this quote that I feel like in the book that I was reading, God Has a Name by John Mark Comer, there's this quote, and I feel like it depicts kind of that, what he's trying to, what that verse is trying to say. And the verse was really hard for me to handle at first. When I read it, my palms actually started sweating because I was like, wait, can he say something like that? Can he say that actually? Like, can we say that? Should I say that in church? But I feel like it brings up some very valid points for me and maybe some of you, because I tend to be a rule follower. And so anyway, the quote, John Mark says, "For years I thought of Yahweh in the Old Testament as parallel with the Father in the New. Like Jesus is some newcomer in the story, that's wrong and dangerous. It leads to a twisted caricature as if the Father is some grumpy old warmonger in the Old Testament, and Jesus is the Son who went off to Berkeley and came home with all sorts of radical ideas about grace and love and tolerance and basically said, come on, Dad, let's not kill everybody. How about I die for them instead?" Jesus is the long-awaited human coming of Yahweh, the God on top of Sinai. So, the third point then is that God is slow to anger. Exodus 34:6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger.'" Hebrew again. In Hebrew, slow to anger is arech apayim. I don't know. That's what I'm going to say. Meaning, I thought this was hilarious, is long of nostrils. So in Hebrew, slow to anger, it really means long of nostrils. So God has really long nostrils. And what happens when you get mad? I don't ever get mad because I'm a children's pastor. So, but I know, I'm kidding, when I get mad. When I get mad, I usually grip my teeth like this, and I close my mouth, and I breathe in through my nose. And so a lot of people probably do that. I'm thankful that God has longer nostrils than I do, because he can't exhale as quick and say, you know, what he's wanting to say. So all that to say, God's slow to anger, and he isn't waiting or wanting any of us to fail miserably so he can unleash his wrath on us, which I feel like in religious circles that kind of seems to be a theme that's like predominant, is that you need to be feared into loving him, feared into knowing him, you know, and then he's wrathful and he gets angry, but he's so slow to anger. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that they all should reach repentance. And so he's patiently waiting for you. He's patiently waiting for you to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life so that we can turn from our sinful ways and be reconciled to him. One thing, though, like I said earlier, that I'm not wanting to convey is that God doesn't ever get angry, because that just wouldn't be true. But his anger is just and it's righteous, unlike ours. And I serve a God who is adamantly opposed to sin and evil and anything that takes me away from him and his love. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. God sees all the wickedness in this world. He sees the little girls forced into sex trafficking. He sees the murdering, the rape, the lying, the violence. He sees the selfishness throughout the people of the world, myself included, pursuing the things of the world, but never his heart. And I'm sure that angers him, but yet we still are. We're still here. He's slow to anger. And some of you need to hear that he is slow to anger. Like me, I need to hear that all the time, because I'm always worried that he's mad at me for something. but he likes me, and he loves me, and he likes you, and he loves you. Some of you might also need to hear, though, on the other end of the spectrum, that God is definitely not the cool mom off of the movie Mean Girls. And if you've seen the movie Mean Girls, you know what I'm talking about. And that in that, the mom in the movie, she does everything in her power to become her high school daughter's best friend instead of being the parent. And then the ramifications of that girl's mom seeking to be a friend instead of a parent is really detrimental. And so God is awesome. He's our very best friend. He's my very best friend. But he's also, he's your father too. And he loves us too much to leave us in our own sin, shame, and disappointment. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." Fourth point that I want to make then is this: God is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Oh, did I switch it? There we go. Okay. Exodus 34:6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Hebrew again, here we go. Chesed, and emet. So chesed means something along the lines of covenant loyalty, and emet means trustworthy. And when I think of a relationship that best portrays that kind of love, I think of marriage. A marriage relationship says through the good and the bad, "I'm yours and you're mine." A marriage relationship says, "I will be fully known and fully loved. I will see the beauty and the brokenness and still choose to serve and love you. I will still love you and I will stick by your side through it all." A covenant in marriage says, "I will, even if you won't," and it's not dictated by feelings nor conditions. It's a love that isn't self-serving, and it requires obedience rooted in love in various facets of our lives in order for that love to flourish and to work. It's a relationship that says, "Until death do us part." And really, the only way a marriage is ultimately successful and the only way it flourishes is if it's firmly rooted in Christ. And the same goes for our relationship with the Father. God is it flourishes when it's rooted. We have to come to Christ through to the Father. Anyway, so the video I showed at the beginning of the message, I feel like speaks volumes as to how steadfast the Father's love really is toward us. He sees the depths of our soul. He still loves us. Like, I'm standing up here right now, and I'm astonished that he likes me and loves me, and I'm astonished that I get to be used by him. And not because of anything that I've done, because if that was the case, I wouldn't be up here. But because of what his son did. Because I said, "God, buy me back from the darkness." And he took the mess that I made of my life and erased it all by Jesus dying on the cross for that mess. And that's why I'm all in with him. That's why I pursue him. Because there really is no other way to live. Especially when that's the bargain that we get. It's a really good deal. The fifth point is then that God won't stop until we're completely free. In the first portion of Exodus 34:7, God says, "Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the fourth generation." Maintaining, in Hebrew, it comes from the word nester, which means to protect or to guard. And I lived in Germany, and I knew this family, the Snells. They were an amazing family. She was a wonderful woman. And Meredith Snell was one of my friends, and we were at a Bible study. And she was giving the devotional, and she was talking about parenting, you know, especially parenting in hard times when your kids are being rebellious, and they don't want to listen to you, and there's this, and there's that, and da-da-da-da-da. And she gave some solid advice. She said that when her kids would get in trouble, she would go to them and she would say, okay, you did this and it's bad, you know, so their sin is bad, but that's not who you are. You're loved, you're kind, you're beautiful. She would affirm in them what God affirms in us, that he sees us and that he loves us. He doesn't like the sin. He doesn't like all of the evil. So she never shamed her kids. Sorry, let me get back on track here. So anyway, I was just pretty much saying, isn't that how the Father speaks to us? He calls us to repentance from our sin, yet anyone who is in Christ Jesus will never be put to shame, because shame will only drive our sinful behavior. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis, I'm a quote girl if you haven't already noticed that yet, go look on my Facebook. The hardness of God is kinder than the softness of man, and his compulsion is our liberation. God's compulsion is to see us, his children, freed from the shackles of sin and bondage. He forgives our wickedness and sin in Jesus, and we're not put to shame. And then that frees us to use our free will to seek him, because we aren't worried that he doesn't love us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And in Jesus Christ, we won't be put to shame. He loves you. The thing, though, is our deepest desire and our longing for love will only be satisfied by our first love, which is him. And in my moments where I've felt ashamed, maybe of something that I've done or something that somebody said to me, I don't want to go to him because I feel like, oh, he's going to be mad at me. But he loves me. And through Jesus Christ, I'm forgiven and I can then come to him. So don't forsake the love that you had at first. Don't forsake his love. He loves you. Come to him. Come to him through Jesus. I have a question for you then. Do you guys see God as a loving parent who has your best interests at heart, even when life seems hard because you're being disciplined and pruned? Do you ever think that maybe all the sin and the evil in the world stems from having kind of the wrong view of who God is, of his nature, of going the opposite way? Instead of running into his arms, we're like, oh, see ya, and we run the opposite direction because we're ashamed. We serve a God, or we think, sometimes we think we serve a God who is merely just trying to get us to conform when he really wants to transform our hearts. God is a loving father, and Jesus came to set us free from the very law that we use to prove that we are enough. You can never prove that you're enough. We will never be perfect enough, only in Christ. We are all lovesick, and we have to stop running from him who will heal our lovesick hearts. We have to stop running into the darkness and instead by faith believe the testimony of his love for us, that in Christ Jesus there is no shame, that he loves us even in our weakness. And by believing this, this will empower us to run toward him because he loves us. Knowing that he loves you, run toward him. So I'm going to close in prayer, but I just wanted to give everybody an invitation to come up. If you feel so led, come up, and I'm sure some of the elders would be more than happy to come up and pray, and I'll pray for you if you need prayer for anything. But just know that God loves you. He's a good, good Father. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all the fathers that are in this room. We thank you for your Father's love. We thank you that you're perfect. And that even though we might not have had a perfect life or the perfect father, that you come in and you sweep us up in your arms and you tell us that we're loved by you. Help each one of us to know that, Holy Spirit. Help each one of us, empower us to know that, God. Bless each one of us as we go about today. I just pray that everybody would have people to hang out with if they don't have a father, God. So bless us in that way. We thank you for this time that we got to spend together today. I thank you for the new faces that are in this room. Would you bless them? Would you be with them? Father, we love you so, so, so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we are going to take just a few minutes, a couple of elders to come on up here alongside Bill and I. And so if you just need to refresh your relationship with the Lord and you want to do that, you want to respond to what you're hearing and move toward a father like this, and we just want to bless that in you. So Caleb and Erica will lead us through a song. We'll just take a few moments to do this. And if you need prayer, there are people here available to pray for you. So just come. Let's stand.
God our Father, Lord of all, great Creator, you hear my call.
God, if you need to receive him as Father, just come as we sing. Just come.
God,
someone pray for you.
Strength,
if you need to refresh your relationship, come now.
Loving kindness is your embrace, it's who you are. Oh, 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 oh.
Yes, God.
Jesus, friend above all friends,
just move toward the Father.
Lay down your life that I might live.
Say yes to him again. Say yes to him.
Faithful shepherd of my soul.
Slow to anger.
Savior, you have made me whole. It's who you are.
Steadfast love. Receive this, Father.
Holy Spirit, Comforter.
Let's receive
your eyes are filled with laughter.
Thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you for revealing yourself to us, not just as the all-powerful creator, but as a loving, tender father. You are strong, you are mighty, but you are kind, slow to anger, abounding in love. And we pray this day your favor would rest upon every person here. And we pray through us your favor would flow to the people around us. So many weighed down by shame and failure. We pray this is a day of the lifting off of shame and for new beginnings. So be with us as we move from this place. Just ask the elders that are going to be in the prayer room, just go ahead and slide that direction. And if this was too public of a place for you, but you'd still like prayer, they'll be in the prayer room next to us here. Father God, be with us now. We thank you again for the men in our lives, and we bless every man to rise up into the fullness of this Father. The Lord, gracious and kind. full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in love. Let us be like you. We pray through Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.